Title: Creating a Personal Break Library Intermediate. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing something that levels you up fast in drum and bass, but it's not glamorous. It's workflow. We're building a personal break library that's curated, searchable, and consistent. The kind of library where you can grab crispy funky hats or dark ghost groove in seconds, drop it into a project, and it just works. Because having breaks isn't the flex. Having your breaks ready is the flex. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a simple folder system, an Ableton break prep template set, a clean way to warp without destroying transients, a repeatable cleanup chain, 3 signature processing flavors, and multiple export formats, full loops, sliced kits, and one-shots. Let's start with the mindset that makes this whole system actually stick. Step 0. Set your intent, your library rules. Before you touch audio, decide what library ready means for you in one sentence. Here's a strong example. Every break in my library loads at -6 dB peak, has no silence, and has a clear label for vibe and density. That one sentence saves you from the classic problem, exporting the same break 4 different ways, with 4 different loudness levels, and names like Audio 127 Final Final 2. That's how libraries die. So here are your standards for this lesson. We're going to use 170 BPM as a tempo reference. We'll try to create 1 bar, 2 bar, and 4 bar versions when possible, but 2 bars is the sweet spot for most DNB. We'll name files with actual metadata, not vibes you'll forget later. Something like break name, source, BPM, style, version. And I want you to add 2 extremely practical tags, density and swing. So you might end up with something like Think Clean 170 Funky Dense V1. And one more big rule, always keep RAW and clean versions. RAW is do not touch. Clean is your standardized, mix-friendly bass. Everything else is a variant you can throw away and redo later. Cool. Now we build the Ableton set that turns this into a repeatable machine. Step 1. Create your break prep Ableton template. Open a new live set. Set the tempo to 170 BPM. Then create a few tracks. Track 1 is an audio track called RAW Break. That's where you drag in original audio. Track 2 is an audio track called Clean Print. This is where you record your cleaned and processed versions. Think of it like your printing press. Track 3 is a MIDI track called Slice KIT, and we'll put a drum rack there once we slice. Then create 2 return tracks. Return A is Short Room. It's a small reverb for glue, not for washy vibes. Return B is Parallel Crush. That's your heavy parallel chain for density when you need it. Now, quick preferences and project settings that prevent pain later. Make sure Create Fades on Clip Edges is on, so you don't get clicks. And for warp defaults, remember this. Complex and Complex Pro are usually not what you want for drums. They can smear transients. For breaks, your best starting point is Beats Mode. Once this set feels good, save it as a template. Because the whole point is, next time you find a break, you're not rebuilding the same setup from scratch. Step 2. Import and warp breaks properly without ruining transients. Drag a break into RAW Break. Click the clip, go to Clip View, and enable Warp. Ableton might guess the tempo wrong. That's normal. Set the seg BPM so it's in the ballpark, and then choose Warp Mode, Beats. Set Preserve to Transients. For the preserve value, start at 1/16. If it sounds crunchy or chattery, try 1/8. If it starts flamming or feeling late on hits, try 1/32. And keep transient loop mode off most of the time for breaks. It's often cleaner. Now the important part, warp markers. The intermediate move here is not to gridlock every transient. If you do that, you can delete the funk. Instead, place warp markers on the big anchors, the first downbeat kick, the main snares on 2 and 4, and any obvious moments where the break drifts or flams in a way you don't want. Here's the pro approach. If a break has a strong push and pull that you actually like, warp only the downbeats and let the groove breathe. Jungle and DNB live on that human feel. Your goal is tight enough to layer, not perfectly robotic. Step 3. Clean and standardize the raw loop into a clean version. This is the part where we turn random audio into something library ready. On raw break, we'll build a simple cleanup chain using stock devices. First, utility. Adjust gain so your peaks land around -6 dB FS. That's a great library standard, because it leaves headroom for layering and processing later. If the break feels too wide or facey, reduce width a bit, maybe to around 80-100%. And if you have bass mono available in your version of live, setting bass mono around 120 Hz can help mono compatibility. Next, EQ 8. Put a high pass filter around 25-35 Hz, fairly steep. You're removing rumble and DC-ish nonsense, not bass you'll miss. If it sounds boxy, a gentle dip around 200 to 400 Hz, 1 to 3 dB. If the hats are harsh, try a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz. The key word is gentle. We're standardizing, not reinventing the brake yet. Then, optionally, a gate. Only if there's noisy vinyl tail that bothers you. Be careful. Too much gate kills natural ambience and makes brake sound chopped. Set threshold just under the noise floor, subtle. Then glue compressor, lightly. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2:1 and aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. This is control, not slam. Now print the clean version. Route audio from raw brake into clean print, or just set clean print to resampling if that fits your setup. Record 1 to 4 bars. Then consolidate so it's exactly the bar length you want. 2 bars is a great default. Rename it clearly. Brake name clean 170, plus those density and swing tags if you're doing that system. Teacher note, don't skip the consolidation step. Libraries get messy when loops don't start exactly on bar 1 or they have tiny lead in silence. Tight boundaries are what make your library feel professional. Now a quick expansion move that will save you from exporting almost good breaks forever. An AQC lane. Create one more audio track called QC/B. Drag in your newest clean export, and then drag in a trusted reference break from your library, something you always like. Level match them using utility. And listen for 4 things. Transient sharpness, hat fizz, mono compatibility, and tail length. This takes an extra minute, but it prevents you from stockpiling 200 breaks that all kind of annoy you later. Step 4. Slicing into a playable kit. Take your clean clip, right-click, and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by Transient. Choose the built-in sliced kit preset so it makes a drum rock automatically. Now your break is an instrument. Each slice is inside a sampler on a drum rock pad. Ableton will generate a MIDI clip that triggers the slices. Here's where you keep the funk. Quantize lightly. Think 50 to 70%, not 100. Or even better, extract groove from the original break. Right-click the audio clip. Extract groove. Then apply it to the MIDI clip at around 40 to 70%. Add a tiny bit of random timing if needed. You're aiming for controlled chaos. Now standardize slice envelopes because clicks are the enemy of a clean library. In each sampler, use one-shot mode. Set a tiny fade in, like 1 to 5 milliseconds. Fade out maybe 5 to 20 milliseconds depending on how tight you want it. If slices overlap in a messy way, use choke groups in the drum rack. For example, put hats and ghosts in the same choke group so they don't stack into a wash. And here's an advanced variation that's worth remembering. If you want to do heavy timing changes, sometimes it's better to avoid extreme warping. Slice the break. Then do micro timing in MIDI. Nudge specific ghost notes a few milliseconds early or late. Duplicate a ghost hit and offset it slightly for shuffle. This keeps transients intact. Step 5. Build 3 signature processing chains. Instead of creating one monster chain that does everything, we're making 3 consistent flavors. The benefit is huge. You'll export variants that are predictable, and you'll be able to swap energy levels in an arrangement without touching plugins. Chain A is roller glue. Clean and punchy. Use drum bus for drive and transient focus. Drive around 5 to 15. Boom low or off unless you really need it. Damp to control brightness. Transients plus 5 to plus 15. Then EQ 8, high pass around 30 Hz and maybe a gentle high shelf around 8 to 10 kHz if it needs air. Then glue compressor, more assertive than the clean stage. Attack around 3 milliseconds. Release auto ratio 4:1, 2 to 4 dB gain reduction. Then limiter with a ceiling around minus 0.8, just shaving 1 to 2 dB. Chain B is jungle crunch. Bright and aggressive. Start with saturator in analog clip mode. Drive maybe 3 to 8 dB. Soft clip on. Then redux sparingly. Downsample a little. Bit reduction tiny or even zero. And blend it with a low mix like 10 to 30%. This is seasoning, not the whole meal. Then drum bus again for transient bite. Then EQ 8 to tame harshness around 3 to 6 kHz if it gets too spicy. Chain C is dark ghost break, for heavier rollers and neuro vibes. Start with EQ 8 and low pass around 10 to 14 kHz to keep it moody. Dip 500 to 900 Hz if it's honky. Then overdrive. Frequency somewhere around 800 to 2K. Drive 15 to 35% and keep the tone a bit dark. Then a regular compressor, not glue, for shaping. Attack 15 to 30 milliseconds, release 60 to 120, ratio around 3:1. Then add tiny room reverb from return A. Decay around 0.3 to 0.6 seconds. Very subtle. You want space, not wash, and a pro density tool. Set up return B as parallel crush. Try saturator in analog clip mode with higher drive, then glue compressor with fast attack and heavier gain reduction, then EQ8 high pass around 120Hz to keep low end clean, and maybe the small high shelf down if it's fizzy. Blend the return low, like minus 18 to minus 10 dB. Parallel is about feel, not obvious distortion. Step 6. Resample processed loops and extract one-shots. This is where your library becomes reusable in every possible way. First, processed loops. Record your processed break into clean print again, or make a new audio track called processed print if you want to keep things organized. Consolidate to exact bar lengths. When you export, use 48kHz, 24-bit. Dither off unless you're going to 16-bit, normalize off, keep consistent gain staging across your exports. That consistency is what makes browsing effortless. Now one-shots. Go into your drum rack slices and find the best kick, snare, hats, and ghosts. Solo each pad and resample a clean hit. Prop it tightly. Fade edges if needed. Name it like a sample pack, not like a memory test. Immense snare tight V1. Funky drummer HAT open dark. And don't sleep on micro combos. Export a kick plus ghost that feels amazing together, or a snare plus its tail. Those little combos are gold for rolling patterns, because they carry the original break's phrasing. Step 7. Store, tag, and make it instantly searchable. The folder structure matters because your future self will be tired, in a creative rush, and you'll either have a system or you'll have a mess. Use a simple ladder, breaks folder, then subfolders for RAW, clean at 170, slice drum racks, processed with subfolders for each flavor, and one-shots with kicks, snares, hats and ghosts. Add the main breaks folder to Ableton's places so it's always there. Use Ableton collections, the color tags, to mark families and vibes. For example, tag amen-related stuff one color, clean rollers another, dark techie stuff another. And here's the habit that makes the whole thing real. Every time you render a keeper, tag it immediately. Not later. Immediately. Also, keep two headroom tiers if you want to be extra efficient. This audio version is shortened for playback.